First Corinthians chapter 15. Aren't you glad you're saved? We have a special visitor coming this morning. The President of the United States is not going to be here. The group called the, so they're supposed to be coming, the group called the Bikers for Christ are going to be here, and they're going to use either the auditorium or the fellowship room afterwards for their business meeting. So I don't know how many are coming. I know the local chapter, I don't think they're a local chapter, but I think they're going to be here for the morning service, and then afterwards they're going to use probably the fellowship room or this auditorium for their business meeting. So those are the visitors that are supposed to be here this morning, amen? So you pray for them as they sit through my sermon, amen? Aren't you glad you're saved? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is now week 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I've lost count on Bible study series on the simplicity of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4 again. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Real simply put, a person cannot be saved unless they believe the gospel. Not, listen to me good, not believing in God. You have, Buddhists believe in a God. Muslims believe in Allah. Everybody just about who's religious believes in some kind of form of God. But that's not what salvation is. Salvation is, and not just adding Jesus to another litany of gods that you've already believed in the past. You have to believe that God Almighty came in the flesh, died on the cross, and was resurrected, as the Bible says. That's the gospel, and that's what saves an individual. Take your Bible, please, turn with me to Romans chapter number 10. Romans 10. Sixth book in the New Testament. Romans chapter number 10. And verse number 16. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 16. We may have covered some of these verses in the past few weeks, but I'm going to use this as a springboard to get into the new material this morning. Romans 10, verse number 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. You don't obey the Bible to get saved. You obey the gospel to get saved. I never read the Bible until I got saved. I don't know about you. Maybe you read the Bible 5 or 10 times before you got saved, but I didn't. I think I read the first, as I said before, the first 3-4 chapters of Genesis, maybe the first 3-4 chapters of Matthew, and maybe some other chapters or verses interspersed. I have no idea. I don't remember. But I know this much. I didn't read more than probably 10 or 20 chapters in the entire Bible before I got saved. But you know what I did to get saved? I believed the gospel. I knew that Jesus Christ died in my place to pay for my sins, to save me from hell. And so I had to believe in a resurrected Christ to save my soul from hell. The only God, okay? I had to obey the gospel. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. And verse number, just for lack of time, verse number 8, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nowhere in the entire Bible that says that God's judgment or damnation or wrath or the fires of hell are going to burn you because you haven't obeyed the entire Bible. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. But it does say because you have not obeyed the gospel, that means you're not saved, you're lost, you've rejected Jesus. Then the Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obeying the gospel is not a daily thing. Obeying the gospel is one time in your life realizing that you were lost on your way to hell, not wanting to go there, and then asking Jesus Christ for mercy to save your soul from hell. You don't do that every day. You do that one time. You were born one time. You're born again one time. It's not complicated. All right, take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And verse number 17. First Peter chapter 4, verse number 17, the Bible says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. That's the people of God. The house of God is not a building. It's the people, okay? Right? Ecclesia, Greek word, called out assembly. It's not the brick and mortar. It's not the stone. It's not the plaster. It's not the lath. It's not the timber. It's not the wood. It's not anything other than the people, okay? Well, judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So the differentiation is the gospel. Have you received Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you believed the gospel? Well, then that you're a child of God. You've been born again, as Jesus said in John chapter number 3. If you've rejected it, then you're lost as a child of hell, a child of the devil on your way to hell right now because you have rejected the only means of salvation, which is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we said in 1 Corinthians 15. Here's the danger. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Romans chapter number 10. And here's a perfect example why I hate every single perversion other than the King James Bible. This is why I hate, literally, I cannot hate it enough. Because what they do is they confuse the minds of people about the most important thing, which is salvation. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Now, confession, that's to men, not to God, because God already knows your heart. You're not saved because you say the words. You're saved because God sees your heart, that you've asked Jesus Christ to save your soul before the words ever come out of your mouth. What do you do with somebody who's dumb, who can't speak? Not dumb as in Baptist, but dumb who can't speak. Amen? What do you do with somebody who's a mute, who can't hear, can't speak? What do you do with that? Well, they're saved just like you're saved if they believed in their heart the Lord Jesus Christ be their Savior. Confession is made unto man, okay? But look at the next verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So in verse number 9, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus Christ is Lord, whether you try to make him your Lord or not. For instance, he's the creator of the universe, all right? The Bible says in Timothy, he's a savior of all men, even the lost ones. That's what the Bible says in Timothy. Now, for those of us who are saved, he's our personal savior. For those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior, he'll be their judge at the great white throne judgment when they're cast into hell to pay for their sins. But I want you to notice something very carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord whether you make him your Lord or not. There's a very big difference because here the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, if you have an NIV, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord. That's Catholic theology. That's Catholicism. That's a work salvation. That's lordship salvation. That they're saying that if Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Where's that in the Bible? It's in an NIV that's not in a King James Bible. Because Jesus made it easy and simple for everybody to be saved, even if you don't surrender everything to Jesus Christ. Salvation doesn't depend on you to surrendering every area of your life to Jesus Christ. Salvation depends on whether you received or rejected the gospel. But the NIV is a Catholic book. Listen to me good. It's a satanic book that teaches people that Jesus, you have to make Jesus your Lord. I'm just reading it, what it says, in order to be saved. The New Living Translation says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. The English Standard Version says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. The Berean Study Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. The Berean Literal Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. New American Standard Bible that I used to have, the perversion, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. The International Standard Version says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. The NET, New English Translation Bible says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. The New Heart English Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. The Aramaic Bible in plain English. Now listen, is this funny or what? In plain English says, if you will confess with your mouth our Lord Yeshua. Right? Plain English, right? Right. God's Word Translation says, if you declare that Jesus is Lord. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to make you, in order to be saved, make Jesus Lord of everything in your life. That's what Catholics teach. You have to do the sacraments. You have to get baptized in order to go. You can't be saved. If you're not baptized, you're damned to hell. That's what they teach. That's what the Greek Orthodox teach. That's what the Roman Catholic. You know what? Hitler was saved. Hitler was called a good Catholic. I'm just telling you what the Pope said. The Pope said that Hitler was a good Catholic. Okay. The New American Standard 1977 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. The American Standard Version says, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. The Darby Bible Translation says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. The English Revised Version says, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. The Weymouth New Testament says that if with your mouth you confess Jesus as Lord. The World English Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And it goes on. I mean, it's unbelievable. You ought to hate, listen to me good. If you're going to hate somebody, listen to me good, you ought to hate the fake, phony, religious, lying pastors, ministers, and religious leaders that are a bunch of liars, ladies and gentlemen, that use perversions that don't have enough sense to use God's word, the King James Bible. You get mad at too many people that are like sheep that just following the blind lead the blind, okay? You ought to get mad and angry at the blind leaders who willfully and deceitfully are lying to people about God and God's word and God's salvation. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 14. For by one offering, not your offering, by the way. There's been only one offering that was a spotless blood offering that could cleanse away and wash away our sins. There's only one. And that's the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, okay? And it's just not the crucifixion. It's the blood that he said that was applied to the mercy seat in heaven that saves your soul. Regardless of what John MacArthur's heresy teaches, you know? Anyway, verse number 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's what it says. Forever. You've been sanctified. It says you've been perfected, okay? Forever. Once saved, always saved. But if you have a new King James Version, you say it's just the same. It's just like the King James Bible. It just makes the words easier, Pastor. Well, the new King James Version says, instead of sanctified, them that are sanctified forever, it says being sanctified. That means it's a process. So what they're telling you is the same thing that the Catholics are telling you. You got to keep up with catechism in order to continue being saved. So you say, well, there's no big difference. It's a new King James. It gets rid of the these and the thous. It's easier to understand. It's diabolical. It's heretical. And it'll damn your soul if you believe it. So when you have these, I don't care if they're Southern Baptists, I don't care if they're Independent Baptists, I don't care if they're Pentecostal, Charismatic, they're a bunch of liars, ladies and gentlemen. You're not being sanctified. You are sanctified if you've asked Jesus Christ to save your soul. Not your flesh, but your soul. It's impossible for the soul to sin, the Bible says. First Corinthians chapter number one. Verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross, we don't have no more preaching anymore in America, man. It's just about gone. I'm telling you, it's just watered down, milk toast, slop that is being fed from the pulpit that's got poison in it. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Well, if you have a new King James Version, it says, unto us which are being saved. It says being saved. You know what that means? It's a process of being saved. So, well, Pastor, it's a new King James Bible. It's an updated version without the these and the that. I can understand it better. No, you're just too lazy to study the Word of God. You're too stupid or ignorant or lazy to get a Bible and read it yourself. You're taking some religious leader's word for it. You're taking some pastor's word for it. Why don't you do a study online and see how many pastors have gone to jail for committing crimes? Why don't you go online and find out how many pastors and ministers have gone to jail and prison for 5, 10, 20 years for everything from stealing money to committing adultery to killing somebody. But you're gonna believe what a minister says without a Bible. You're going to believe what a religious leader says without a King James Bible. You're the idiot. God commands you to study. God commands you to read the Word of God. God commands you to find out if it's true or not. Go back and check whether these things are true or not. But I'm going to get a new King James pastor because it's easier to understand. If there's one thing you ought to hate more than anything else is these perversions, listen to me good, and the people who peddle the stuff. It's not complicated. You're not being saved. When were you born again? You're not born again today and then born again tomorrow, born again next day, born again next week, born again the following week and month and 2 years from now. You're born again one time. It's not complicated. But the devil, man, he's slick, man. He corrupts the Word of God and he changes salvation, the most important basic thing. And this is why you get pastors, a bunch of liars, who say you're not really saved. If you don't come to church, you're not really saved. Or if you're sinning, you're not really saved. Or if you're doing those things, you're not really saved. Where's that in the Bible? Show me one verse in the Bible. You won't find that in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, you don't know if I'm lying or not. You don't know if I'm telling the truth or not. I was never ashamed or embarrassed to bring my Bible to church after I got saved. You know, it's an amazing thing. When I went to a Greek Orthodox church, I didn't see anybody carrying a Bible. They had their liturgy thing there, and they had their missal there, and they had the other things there. They had their, you know, their crosses there. I don't remember anybody carrying a Bible. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 2. Verse number 15. For we are unto God a sweet savior of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Well, in them that are saved, in the New King James Bible, you know what it says, don't you? You don't even have it. It says being saved. They diabolically change salvation to make you think you have to work for salvation. You have to be good enough. You can't sin enough. And then you may qualify. That's straight out of Catholicism that we got saved from. That's straight out of a works religion that we got saved from. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. They get mad at me or mad at you because you happen to point out what they're saying. How ludicrous is that? Instead of them saying, wow, that's true, I never realized that, please forgive me, they get mad at you and they get angry at you. They hate you for preaching and teaching the truth that they're preaching heresy. 1 John chapter number 5, you know the verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, the New King James Version changes it to may continue to believe. Because if you ever stop continuing to believe, God forbid you get Alzheimer's disease, you know. God forbid you get in a coma and lose your mind, you can't remember anything. Some of us wish we couldn't remember some things, amen? But what happens to people with Alzheimer's that can't remember their past? They can't even remember when they got saved. I have friends of mine like that. They have Alzheimer's. They're getting Alzheimer's. They're getting up in age. Well, you're going to tell me they weren't saved 30, 40, 50 years ago? Because they don't continue to believe? No. You're here because your parents had one intimate connection. That's the reason why you're here. They could have separated afterwards. They could have divorced afterwards. They could have hated each other afterwards. They could have never talked to each other afterwards. But you're here because of one interaction. Guess what? You're saved because of one interaction that you had with Jesus Christ 5 years ago, 10 years ago, last week, 20 years ago. Just once. I got saved November 1978. And I'm not saved today because I'm good. I'm not saved because I continue to believe all the time or because I'm not doing something bad. I'm saved because Jesus Christ saved my soul when I asked him for mercy in November 1978. But that's not what the devil wants you to believe. They want you to believe a work salvation. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 7. I'm telling you, I am just scratching the surface of this kind of stuff. I'm telling you. Get your telephone book out. Go online and find out. Call up all these churches and find out exactly what kind of book they believe, what kind of book they're following, what kind of book they're preaching and teaching. And ask them, ask the pastor, can I talk to the pastor, please? And ask them these questions. Matthew chapter number 7. I said that about 25, 28 years ago, and a lady in our church actually did that. She got the telephone book out and called all the pastors in the area. I'm just telling you. Why don't you call them up and find out? Why don't you stop a Catholic priest on the road and say, how do I get to heaven? You see them walking around. They don't know how to dress. They put their collars on backwards, okay? Just say, if I want to go to heaven, can you show me how to go to heaven? And listen to what they got to say. Well, you got to come to church. You got to join the church. You got to be baptized. You got to do the sacraments. And you got to live for God the rest of your life. You got to do penance. You got to do prayers. That's exactly what the New King James Version, and that's exactly what the NIV and all these other perversions are pushing, ladies and gentlemen, the exact same thing. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 14. Because straight is the gate. Well, let's go to verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go there in thereat. Verse 14 now. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. It's very narrow. You need to be born again. It's very narrow. You have to go through Jesus and Jesus only, amen. You have to believe that Jesus is God. You have to believe in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. That is very narrow. See, how narrow-minded are you, Pastor? I'm about that narrow-minded right there. That narrow-minded right there. Verse number 15, verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, especially living up here in the Capital District, you obviously understand that verse better than most, amen? But if you had a New King James Version, they wouldn't use the word narrow, they'd change it to difficult. So the New King James Version thinks it's difficult to be saved. You won't find that in the King James Bible. My Bible teaches it's easy to be saved. It's easy believism. All you have to do is trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How complicated, how difficult is that? But the devil wants to mess with your mind. He wants to make you think that salvation is complicated. It's not difficult. It's easy to be saved. It's probably the most easiest thing you've ever done in your life is get saved. Just let go and let God have his way with you. Just surrender to God your soul for all eternity and say, God, please save my soul. It's not complicated, but your PhD gets in the way. Your profession gets in the way. Your status gets in the way. Your highfalutin attitude gets in the way. Your reputation gets in the way. Your pride gets in the way. Your ego gets in the way. But it ain't difficult. It's easy to be saved. You just have to humble yourself. How about 2 Corinthians 10, number 10? We are just scratching the surface. 2 Corinthians 10, number 10. Aren't you glad you're saved? You don't have to worry about being saved. Being saved. Continue to be saved, continuing to believe. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Anybody who goes to church that doesn't have a King James Bible, as far as I'm concerned, is spineless. They're lazy, they're ignorant, stupid, or all of them. Look, you say, you shouldn't use those words, Pastor. Get yourself a dictionary and read what the word stupid means. Huh? Whoa. They're doped out. Their brains are fried. You sit there like a lump on the log just hearing and believing everything some sinner says from a pulpit. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10, verse number 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I've been in that series on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights for about thinking right, right? And this is the verse I'm using more than any other verse probably, right? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations. Well, if you have a New King James Version, they change imaginations and put in casting down arguments. Because they don't want to argue. They say, you're just arguing. You're being divisive. That's what they used to say. Now it's divisive, okay? But they say, you're just being argumentative. God wants us all to unite and be together. I'm not going to unite with the devil's crowd. I'm not going to unite on my way to hell. But that's what the New King James Version teaches. Casting down arguments. You're just arguing. You're always being argumentative all the time. Well, I'm sure that's what they said about John the Baptist when before they had cut his head off. I'm sure that's what they said about Paul before Nero cut his head off. I'm sure that's what they said about Jeremiah before they put him in the dungeon. His own people put him in the dungeon. I'm sure that's what they said. Titus chapter number 3, please. Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3. A very unpopular verse, even with fundamental Baptists today. Verse number 10. Titus chapter 3, verse number 10. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. All right. That means if somebody has a heretical belief in some heretical doctrine, you're supposed to go to them the first time. The second time, after that, leave them alone, man. Stay away from them. And that's what the Bible says, reject them. Except now, if you have a New King James Version, it doesn't say heretic. It says divisive man. Well, I read somewhere where Jesus divided the crowd. I read in Genesis chapter number 1 that God divided a lot of times, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because God's a dividing man. And the gospel ought to divide the lost from the saved. And Jesus is going to separate and divide the sheep from the goats. But the New King James Version tells you, stay away from divisive people. A divisive man, it says. A man that is a divisive man. That's what it says. You don't think it makes a big difference about being divisive or a heretic? You'd rather be with a smiling Santa Claus, a jolly good fella who believes in heresy and believes that the devil is his friend, instead of some wild-eyed Baptist preacher who believes the truth and preaches the truth. That's how we've succumbed to today. Everything's got to be sugar-coated for everybody. We're a bunch of babies. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. I mean, the sign outside still says Baptist, doesn't it? It does say Baptist, right? Okay. That's why people are taking the name Baptist off their signs. I'm telling you. They don't want to be identified with divisive people. They're very mean-spirited, you know, because we happen to point out truths and facts. That's all. Just pointing things out. Look, I'm glad somebody pointed out to me, straightened me up when I had a new American Standard Version. If I didn't have somebody who was courageous enough on the radio tell me about the King James Bible, I would have been stuck in a dead Baptist church that didn't have a King James Bible. Second Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Of course, if you had a new King James Bible, that only changes the these and the thous, Pastor. It's not that bad. It's the same book, Pastor. It's just updated to be more palatable for our modern English-speaking people, Pastor. Of course, if you had that, the word corrupt is changed to peddle, P-E-D-D-L-E. If you know anything about English language, the word peddle means to sell your wares or not, you know. We were going out visiting yesterday. We passed a sign. We're out in Timbuktu, man, yesterday, out in the boonies where I love being, amen. But we passed a sign and said, welcome to so-and-so. You need a license or a permit, rather, to peddle or distribute whatever it was. Sell, peddle or sale, whatever the sign says. Well, peddle means to sell. Corrupt is a little different than peddle, ladies and gentlemen. So New King James Bible says, New King James Perversion says, we are not as many which peddle the word of God. First of all, there's nothing wrong with even selling the Bible, okay? But there's nothing wrong with selling the Bible. But there's something very wrong with corrupting the word of God. But they don't want you to know that they're corrupting the word of God because you don't like the these and the thous because you heard somebody else say that. And so you're just parroting what somebody else has said who is full of it. Horse manure, cow manure, you know exactly what I'm thinking about, amen. They're full of it, and they're lying to you, but you just parrot what you hear because you don't read the Bible on your own. You don't study the Bible on your own. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Why is it, do you think, that the Pope has endorsed the New International Version? Why do you think he okays that? Why would the Pope, who hates God, who hates the Bible, hates salvation, would ever endorse the NIV? K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. Why would he ever endorse that? Romans chapter number 1, verse 25. who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Of course, if you have your New King James Version, it would say, who exchanged the truth for a lie. No, you know what the devil did? He changed the truth into a lie. Because once you change one word, it ceases being the truth. How can you, these verses that we read about being saved or are saved, how can that not make a difference in your theology about salvation? How can that not make a difference in your belief about salvation being saved from hell? And that's why you talk to people, well, have you been saved? Yeah, I'm saved, but I'm trying. What's that mean? Because you're going to a church that doesn't have a King James Bible, probably. Well, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm saying, yeah, I've been born again, but, and they add all this thing that they heard some lying pastor, some lying minister say. Yeah, I'm trying, but, you know, I'm not living right. And if I die now, you know, like my son-in-law was telling me, knocking on the door yesterday and told somebody that, you know, they were saved, but, you know, I'm not sure about their salvation. Now, you know why? Because they're probably either not going to church or not going somewhere where they're having the King James Bible taught how simple and easy salvation is. Once you're saved, you're always saved. It's not complicated. Take your Bible, please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And verse number 2. Verse number 15. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Of course, if you had a New King James Version, perversion, they just take out the word study because they don't want you studying. They want you back in high school cutting class. Yeah. They want you back in school cutting class, missing. That's why they don't want you come to Sunday school, the adult Bible study. Oh, it's just too boring. I'm just going to go for the morning. You know, I'm just telling you, you know what it is. I'm not saying anything that people don't know. As if this stuff is not important. As this hour, the adult Bible study, is just extra. I don't really need it. And look at their Christian life. Look what they believe and what they don't believe. I'll just straddle in on here, maybe even 5, 10, 15 minutes late for the morning service. Okay. As if not knowing the difference between the King James Bible and the perversions is not important. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. Don't study and see how your life turns out. You don't think it's important? About anything. Not just salvation, about everything in the Bible. Take your Bible, please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Verse number 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. That's like speaking in tongues today. That's like gibberish that they're standing up and screaming from the top of their lungs, top of their mouths, and they don't even know what they're saying. It's vain babblings. And some other liar stands up and screams at the top of their head, and the other liar stands up and tries to interpret what they're saying. They're both a bunch of liars. Get your Bible out and study, but you have to have a King James Bible that says that. And oppositions of science, falsely so called. The Bible says science. Nothing wrong with science. But science has to be proven. Do yourself a favor. If you're online, go online and search about how false mental illness is. Go online and find out that it is a lie straight from the devil. I'm just telling you. A science can be proven objectively. That means you have facts. You can take a test, a scan, an x-ray, a blood test, and you can find a disease that someone has. Go call up all the psychiatrists that you can find. Call up all the psychologists you can find and ask them if there's an objective test for a mental illness. And they'll go, no, there is none. But they vote to say that there is one. So they can get money from the government off of you and others who don't know what God says and don't know what the truth is. That's not science. These psychiatrists and psychologists, they don't know anything about science. So-called. But the New King James Version takes science out and puts in knowledge. Knowledge. Science is not the same as knowledge. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Mark chapter number 1, please. Mark chapter number 1. Some of these verses we've gone through before. Some of them we have not. I don't remember, but we're going to close. Mark chapter number 1. Verse number 14, Jesus preaching. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the what? The death, the burial, and resurrection of himself, of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Notice it's a two-step thing. You may not realize what happened in your mind, but repent means to change your mind. It does not mean to stop sinning. It does not mean to change your life, as the people with the perversions have believed now. Because they have an NIV, they have a New King James Version. And so when they're reading these perversions, they pervert the gospel. And they believe that repent means that you got to change your life. And they're teaching Catholicism, Catholic theology, instead of easy believism. Well, if repent means to change your life, then you have to go to somebody and say, you have to change your life in order to believe the gospel first. That's what lost people are teaching. That's what Catholics teach. That's what Protestants teach. And they're damned to hell. So you believe some lying theologian, some lying scholar, some lying minister who says you got to change your life in order to believe the gospel. This is what Jesus said, repent ye. But if you get a Bible out and study, you'll find out repent means to change your mind. That's all it means. That's all it means. Change your mind, period. Metanoia is a Greek word that I repented, period. Not with any intention afterwards, not with a change of life afterwards. It doesn't say that. It means you change your mind. Change your mind about going to hell and want to go to heaven, amen? Changing your mind about Jesus being just a good man, a good teacher, a moral man, to being God Almighty in the flesh who came and died in our place to save our soul from hell. So what I got saved, I changed my mind. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. And you know what I did? I asked God for salvation. I trust him as my Savior. I believed in Jesus. But it's repent. He said, repent ye and believe the gospel. And that's why he told his disciples in Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say go out and tell everybody they got to change their way of living. That's what Buddhists believe. That's what Hindus believe. I cannot tell you how much I hate these perversions. I cannot tell you how much it disgusts me, these spineless ministers, pastors, religious leaders who purposely lie to their people for money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Why don't you get a King James Bible out and start reading it? If you can't read, then get it on tape or get it on CD or whatever they have now, MP3, whatever you're listening to, and get a King James Bible and start listening to it and read it. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Please bless these dear folks for their faithfulness. Lord, give safety for those who are coming. Bless the morning service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.